recognize her enthusiasm, her community spirit, and her exceptional networking skills, which put us back in touch with a lot of people that we haven't spoken to in a long time, and other organizations that we should know both here and in Albany. So we're grateful for that. She has assured me that she's not leaving due to any organizational issues that we have, and we have a few. But she's simply following a dream of hers, and when you hear the call of a dream, a personal dream, you know, you have to follow it. So I'm sad to say she's leaving us, but we're all wishing you our very best. So I'm going to let Misty have a little chat.
Wow, okay.
Take it away.
Yeah, so I did, I sort of wrote a letter to the board in preparation for today's meeting, but it was really, I'll just speak from the heart and off the cuff, in that I am so grateful to have had this opportunity to serve on this board, to get inside the city of Hudson that I still love so very much. And the executive committee has not been shy to show up and support me anytime I text, called, emailed, asked them to meet, whatever the case may be. And that has been extremely gratifying, especially working in what was completely far afield from where I came from. And I also would like to say that HTC is poised to do amazing things. I am so proud of this organization and the robust commitment that this board has, and that we have a lot to be thankful for and proud of over the last 6 months. We have continued to reinvigorate the board of HTC here in the city, get to know more people in the Capital Region, partnering with organizations up in Albany to here in Hudson and the CEDC. And we've made a lot of strides in sort of creating this new day for HTC, and I see a lot of good things coming down the pike. And, you know, the universe works in funny ways. So in an effort to grow the staff, because staff of one is very lean staff, I got the privilege of meeting Nathan, and you will hear more from him in a minute. And Nathan is a nonprofit guru who will play a hugely important interim role for this organization through strategic planning and setting the stage for the road ahead. As Chris said, I've had a longing and a yearning to do something on my own for a long, long time. It is a for-profit business, not a non-profit. And it's the opportunity has arrived for me and my family to do this. So although my experience here was brief, it was really profound and moving. I'm still invested in this community, and hope to see you all on the flip side.
So see you on campus.
See you around.
Yes.
Yeah,
Thank you. So while we weren't expecting to be talking about this in this board meeting, we are moving forward. We'll continue the progress that we have been making. We're embarking on an effort to do a strategic plan, and we're prepping for organizational success. HTC's never done a strategic plan, and there are people who say have yay and nay feelings about a strategic plan, but in thinking about it in its very simplest, it's a roadmap of sorts that is created by an organization for a direction and a focus so that we can meet our goals and make changes and be successful. So if you don't like the word strategic plan, let's call it the roadmap. It's an idea that most of you endorsed really heartily in the last board meeting. So we're happy that we can begin to implement that very quickly. When I was speaking with Nathan after Misty resigned, he indicated that this is the perfect time to embark upon this kind of an exercise for the whole board. So I think we're going to be in good shape. The other thing we're going to be doing was finishing up the last pieces of the audit. We have a few hanging chads in the old voting vernacular that we have to attend to, so we'll be doing that. And also, we're going to work with Nathan on the Paris ABO system and putting the rest of the information that we have to put in there. So it's kind of a time for us to be making sure we're in compliance with our policies and documents and to support our organizational charter and other steps to get our house in order, do some housekeeping. Brenda was really good at that and in the past, and I think during the time since she's left us, we have some catch up to do. So it's not fatal. It's just something that we're gonna attend to. But before we talk about that a little more, I thought we would proceed with the board meeting. So the April board meeting minutes were circulated. Does anybody have any comments on the board, corrections or additions to the board minutes? If not, can I have a motion to...
I make a motion.
Paul first and a second. Second. Anybody want to say? John Friedman? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are carried. I should have said that Jan Egan is usually our note taker, minute taker, our scribe. She isn't here today, but she will be back at our next meeting. Misty's recording the meeting so that she can have minutes, the sound to work from.
Once you make a recording, that's the minutes.
It is?
You can't edit it.
You can't edit it. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. So,
what does that mean? Do you type it up then, or...?
You can have a transcription.
Yeah, you can have a transcribe, yeah. But you can't change the transcription.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so with that said, on the agenda, we're going to move to the financial report for Phil Foreman. Phil's going to take us through the numbers. He did circulate the budget in advance of the meeting, so I hope you all had a chance to look at it. Yesterday, Phil suggested to me that it might be a good idea with the state of the ongoing debt limit discussions in Washington and with the potential impact that could have if that does not reach some sort of agreement for us to have a chat with the Babcock gentleman, and he arranged for that to happen. So after he's going to get them on this beautiful little speaker, but after he goes through the monthly report, we'll go into that portion of the financial meeting, okay? And is it your plan to have people be able to ask some questions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
With the comment that not everybody is comfortable speaking out, so any questions you didn't get to, send them to me, and we'll have the guys answer them and get back to you. Whatever you're comfortable with, of course, we'll take questions.
Right. Okay.
There are basically no changes. In the financial statement, obviously, updating income and expense. Going forward, there are a couple things that we're going to do. The income projection is probably a little bit high. We have now almost 6 months of experience with what we're doing on the investment side in terms of income. So I'm gonna update that to something that's closer to current, and I think that's probably about it. There's some minor technical things, but basically no change. So, Chairman, I'm comfortable if someone would make a motion.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, John.
So, do the minor changes add up to $4,000?
If you're looking at the $4,000 figure specifically, I don't believe in the income statement carries that. The balance sheet had to at the direction of the auditors because we picked up an anticipated payment for the rental of the parking spaces, and then the sale disrupted that agreement. Because that $4,000 was included in the books, the auditors advised us to keep the balance sheet until next audit.
It's on the P&L.
I understand.
Okay.
We'll fix it.
Okay.
But that's what that's about.
So it should be on.
It should be on the balance sheet. Yeah, right. And then end of that stay on the balance sheet until the next audit.
Which is next year.
Correct.
Okay. So we gotta get you still looking at that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions on the P&L? With that, can I have a motion to accept the financial report? Paul first, second, John, any, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, balance. Thank you for that.
Very well.
Thank you for circulating it in advance of the meeting. That was very good. Slow readers are appreciated.
It's the right way. We got our schedule, I think, pinned down a little bit better.
Great.
We'll get that done each time, and if we can get more days into the mix, that's great.
Okay. So
let me tee up what what we're going to ask. How it came up that that we're bringing Bob and Tom into our meeting. The thought behind that. We had a financial committee meeting last week. It was Phil and Martha. John couldn't make it. Pete Schramm came, though, which was great, and you all are welcome. We're going to try to get those posted so anybody can actually come to the financial committee and participate. It's a good thing. What was interesting is the meeting was initially convened for purposes of discussing and preparing a financial policy, and we agreed there was a bit more next steps in terms of process that is describing within the financial policy what our process of oversight and all that stuff was. So We put that aside and then just started talking about what was people's minds were on. And you will not be surprised that people were concerned about the debt ceiling, ranging from a little to a hell of a lot. People were concerned that we were looking at ways to take advantage of the changes in interest rates in the market. The market has moved tremendously from where we started out at a 1% market. We're looking at a 5% market, in crude sense. So what are we doing about that? People were concerned about risk on all kinds of dimensions. Risk of what the government default would mean to our portfolio. Risk about the what appears to be endless rise in interest rates, or at least sustained interest rates at very high levels, eroding into our equity. People were concerned about safety overall. Was what we're doing safe enough? And people were concerned at least one of us, and there was some agreement about parts of that, that we weren't being aggressive enough with our portfolio. And I'm sorry that we're schizophrenic, but we're schizophrenic. We're worried about safety, but we'd also like to keep up with inflation. That was the discussion. It was a great discussion, and it seemed that these topics were probably on your minds, and that it was really important to include the entire board. If you guys will give me a techno minute or two while you're not looking at me screw up the dialing, I'm going to bring in Tom Babcock from Babcock Advisors and Bob McQueen, who's our camp manager. Just give me a minute to get dialed in, and don't watch.
Don't watch, close your eyes.
Not working.
I will skip down to the bottom of the agenda while he's dialing in for the techno moment that he posted to remind you all that members of the board have to take an ABO training. It's mandatory for all board members. The next training is June 14th, 9:30 to 11. You can go to the ABO website to sign up under Paris Online Training. And it's not as painful as you would imagine. Some of your fellow members have actually taken the training and survived.
It's fun.
So, it's just get it done. Park being compliant.
Hello?
Hello, Jeff.
It is absolutely Phil. How you doing? Okay. So you're on speakerphone and the board's all in the room. I'm going to try to add on an augmented speaker so we got a little bit better sound coming from your end. So that's just a Bluetooth connection. Are you good? I'm Barry.
I think you can put him on there while he's doing that. It's good that we don't have to use the TV, because that's really complicated.
I'm done.
Did it work?
Yeah, my bet did. Let's see if that out like it.
I didn't look.
I appreciate it. I practiced this morning. Hello? You're not coming through on the speaker. Let me see what we can do that. You should be.
It's the speaker on.
Hi. There, you're in there somewhere. How about now? Guys, you can hear me?
It's still coming out of your phone.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Technology.
So, we're able to hear you. I wanted to hook you up to an auxiliary. It's a Bose cup. How's that? Guys,
okay.
Speak up.
I'm good. Okay, we got you
on the speaker. Thank you. Come on. Testing 1-2. Testing 1-2, we got you. All right.
Sometimes you got to bring in the
talent. Edit wasn't me. All right. How's that sound-wise, folks?
Good.
Okay. So I teed up, you know, what we were talking about, debt ceiling, risk, the changes in interest rate. Looking for safety in the market. So, guys, you're on.
Okay. All right. Bob and I will both be speaking to everybody. Okay. The close yesterday was $2,706,413.01. Okay. The portfolio breakdown is 63% cash or cash equivalents. And 37% bond. Okay? I want to talk about the smaller the two, the bond holdings that we have. All these bond holdings, okay, are investment grade, meaning the tranche is triple B and above, and we bought every one of these bonds at a discount. The yields are paying, the interest is rolling back into our cash, and there's no reason at all, in essence, to think, all right, whatever action the Fed takes, or the Treasury and the and obviously Washington getting the debt ceiling raised, there's no issue from a standpoint of these bonds, okay? They're just not. We're going to hold them to maturity. We bought them at discount, okay? And the truth be told, irrelevant, I mean, to what's going on here immediately, okay, from a standpoint of the intermediate term, these bonds, all right, at the point of the Fed's inflection, where they're going to pause, okay, and then eventually by the end of the year lower rates, these bonds are going to flex themselves very aggressively and quickly, and we're looking at double-digit returns on these holdings. So we bought them, they went up, they went down a little bit, they've gone up back again, but once again, a It's only 37% of the portfolio, and there's none of these bonds that if we sell them right now, we're going to take any huge hit on them. So they are producing. There's no default risk or issue on any of these bonds. So the reality of the fact is ExxonMobil, Nike, Olin Corporation, Novaris, Microsoft, Cisco, Berkshire Hathaway, Apple, Yale University, Alphabet, Visa, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, Amazon, Walmart, Automated Data Processing, ADP, Abbott Labs, Las Vegas Sands Hotel, Hillbrand, Inc., NRG Energy, Hyatt. I could just go on and on and on. Every one of them. If those companies are going under, that we're not worrying about discussion here about FDIC insurance. Okay, we're talking about bullets. Okay, so I don't need to be so frank about it, but that's the issue that's out there. So the reality is that we're in good standing with that. Now if we go back, all right, to the cash holdings, all right now it's made up of two specific holdings, an insured cash account and Goldman Sachs Fund Square Prime, okay, holding, which is currently, Bob, could you just quote the yield? What is it, 5.2?
It's 5.16% on the Goldman Sachs.
5.16, okay, and that's totally liquid. So we literally have $1,707,000 in liquid cash or insured cash account. Now, the question becomes, from a standpoint on a risk profile standpoint, all right, we're obviously extremely safe that we're in cash. Is the question being presented on how that cash is? That's the question I have for the board.
I'm sorry, state that again, Tom.
Okay, is the question, okay, the amount of cash that we have, okay, or is the question of the cash that we have, how safe is that cash?
A bit of each. What we had talked about when we were structuring our account is that we were going to retain, in our case, $600,000 in if you will, true cash, even though the Goldman Fund is considered a cash equivalent. So the questions around that are, one, I guess, do, given the possibility of having totally liquid stuff and earning money on it, do we really need $600,000 in cash under the couch? Two, issues concerning safety. Some of the folks on the board brought up CDs purchased through banks or other means because of the FDIC insurance. If we were to put our cash somewhere now or cash coming in as the bonds mature, should we be looking for FDIC insurance, et cetera?
Okay. All right. Okay, good. All right. So we're prepared to have this discussion. All right. So we, on a daily basis here, okay, I don't know how many millions of dollars we've already placed this morning, okay, but it's an ongoing process every day in our firm from a standpoint of finding out what the current, okay, yields are in the morning in the CD market. So, Bob, do you want to comment right now on what we're seeing in those CD yields?
Yeah, we're generally seeing 5% plus on CDs going out anywhere from 3 months out to 13 months. Once you get beyond that, then the rates actually start to tail off, which is kind of in line with what the yield curve is on treasuries right now. But Tom and I have had a discussion on that, and what we would advocate here is taking some of this cash and putting it in a laddered portfolio of CDs. In other words, a certain amount of CDs would come due every month, so that there's the liquidity needed there, the immediately liquidity need.
Okay, so
losing any yield in this case.
Right, right. So the bottom line is that we're getting very close to the cap in terms of where interest rates are. The problem is that if we go out to try to execute a 3-year certificate deposit or a 2-year certificate deposit, we're going to get a lesser yield than a 9-month, okay? And that's because we're trading in an inverted yield curve scenario. So the number one is that you don't want to lock up, okay, all your money into certificate of deposit, okay, with no cash, all right, which we're not proposing and you're not suggesting, okay? But what we can do is we can literally take from the insured cash account the $678,000, all right? We're proposing to take $500 million from there, $500,000, and in essence, okay, take out of the Goldman Sachs high-yielding money market account another $500,000, and then laddering those institutional deposits between 3 months and 15, all right, or 18 months, all right, in essence, so those certificate deposits are coming due without us having to break them, okay? What we accomplish here is that we will not exceed $250,000 in any one given bank, all right? And we have the ability to be able to go out and to get the best CD rates in the country because they're basically brokering. We see them in terms of where they're trading throughout the country on any given day. The problem is that I could give you a quote today, and then tomorrow the quote could be different. Okay, now they haven't been vacillating, okay, that much. They did tick up because of the last Fed, okay, quarter of a point interest rate rise. But it would probably be prudent, in essence, to ladder those within that time parameter. What you're accomplishing is that those CDs come due in 3-month intervals, okay, that automatically goes back into cash, and then we reevaluate what basically is transpiring within the market. What you're doing here is that you're getting comparable yield from your money market account, if not higher, okay? And you're also tucking the moniker of FDIC insurance, okay, against each of those holdings, assuming that we do not, okay, place a certificate deposit above $250,000 in one given bank, which we won't do. So,
John, the other thing I would note here is that these are brokered CDs, so it's a little different than going directly to a bank. With going directly to a bank, if you get out of the CD early, you pay a penalty. These are brokers that are multiple securities, and they can be sold.
Right. So if you all of a sudden say that in your 9 months you need that money, we could go into the market that day and in essence get, and someone's going to buy that CD.
Okay. At this point, if I understood the returns on the short-term CDs and what we're looking at in Goldman is highly comparable, so it's 5 and change either way.
Right. You're not gonna see anything. Okay, it's gonna be out there in the 6 or 7 with any kind of cash. It's all basically right now, Phil and everybody on the board, it's all hinged upon where the Treasury yields are, okay, and the short term. And the fear is, in the banking industry, in the economy as a whole, is that they do not foresee this rate scenario continuing to stay where it is for any long period of time.
Okay, those were, I think, most of the questions that came up in the Finance Committee meeting, but as I said before, I'll open up to the board to ask questions of the guys right now, or if you're more comfortable, shoot me your question. I'll make sure you get a response and get back to you. What are you comfortable with?
I think we should do that in the interest of time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I can't hear if anybody's asking a question.
They're not.
Something, you know, since we have the board. Bob and I just want to comment from the standpoint in terms of the equity markets. And
sure.
I think that our message that we originally when we took over these funds and continued over the past, two quarters now, okay, what we're reiterating in terms of what's happening in the market, I think that our advice has been prudent, okay, and the reality of the fact is we've got a lot of volatility that's baked into this market, and the reality is I'm not even just talking about the short-term issues dealing with the deficit issue. I'm talking about the earnings issues as we go forward with the economy as a whole. And there's probably no disputing now that we are in a recession. So it's just a question of when it's going to be the opportune time, in essence, to take some of this money to put it into equity. And I would say that will happen or would be more of a consideration once the Fed pauses and has successive meetings that they have paused, and at the critical point will be when they elect a lower rates again.
Okay. Tom and Bob,
we
need to we've got a full load today. We need to jump to some other agenda items.
Okay.
You really covered extremely well some of the stuff that was on our minds. I'm sure there'll be follow-ups. And given when I got to you to do this, I'm so grateful to you both for coming in.
Absolutely. We appreciate the faith you put in us, and I wish you success in the remainder of the meeting.
Super.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Done.
Thank you. Do you have any more you would like to summarize?
No, I think that's enough on the financial side, and there's obviously a lot of other considerations that folks have put on the table, or I'm sure will, in terms of other kinds of financial services we might provide to pursue higher yields, but we'll get to that. And I want one more round with the Finance Committee, with John Friedman present, to have some of that. Thank you.
So if any of you have any questions relating to this, if you could email them, as he said, to Phil, we will, the next Finance Committee, as you just suggested, the next Finance Committee will address what they told us, and
we will, and we'll report back to you all.
Okay. All right, good. So we can
just a quick question, though. If the point of this is to sort of move funds around in case the debt ceiling limit is not raised, if we wait for another meeting, won't it be too late? Won't we miss that opportunity to slide things around before?
They didn't see the debt ceiling thing having it. It would definitely impact the face value of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But these are fixed products, and they didn't see it impacting. On the other hand, I love moving faster. I wasn't sure people were comfortable with it.
We could have a Finance Committee meeting at any time.
No, I don't mean Finance Committee. I mean including the board to vote and so on. Finance Committee for sure. Let's see what we can do. We'll try to get the committee together. I understand what you're saying. It's all anxieties are legit. We'll try to get a Finance Committee going next week. If we can pin down some of this stuff, we'll try to get back to the board as quickly as possible
with
a recommendation and give you guys a chance to come back to us and try to move a bit faster. Thank you for that idea.
It just seems it's like a golden account.
No, Crystal, it's a good one. Okay.
Okay. All right. So we'll
talk
if there's no other comments on that, we're going to move to the new business category of our agenda. And on the new business category is the strategic initiative. The new face that we have in the room is Nathan McLaughlin. His background, as Misty alluded to, is in nonprofit administration, program development, organizational change, and growth, which sounds really good. Nathan is versed in grant writing, fundraising, and compliance reporting, Medicare compliance reporting, and he has brought other nonprofits back from, as he said, the ashes to a fully functioning nonprofit board. So we asked him to lead us.
He didn't mean us. He's talking about somebody else.
um, We have asked him, the executive committee met with him last week to get to know him and tell him what we're looking to do. And he has agreed to be a resource for us, and we're proposing in this meeting that we engage him to help us through the compliance and administration aspect of what I was describing we're going to be doing. And also to which will be, we set a goal of completing our compliance documents by the end of June. So, you know, tomorrow is June, so or maybe a little longer. So we need to get going on that. And also, we asked him to lead our strategic planning work because he has experience doing that. We did talk at length about how some companies and organizations do a strategic plan with the board, and it takes a very long time, and there's a lot of meetings, and there's a lot of back and forth, and it ends up in a giant binder, which everyone gets a copy of, and then it goes to the dust category. So he is not a believer in that kind of a plan. He calls this kind of a plan that we're looking to do a living strategic plan, which is a quicker exercise all around. We will, of course, want all board members to participate in this. It will probably be 3 or 4 meetings, but he's been explaining this to me. I'm grateful that Misty introduced us to him, and I feel really like we're heading into some good, you know, times ahead. So I'm going to let Nathan take over and give us a little overview.
No, thanks. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for all of you for having me. For folks that I haven't met, I know some of you have lived in Hudson for about 10 years. I was involved in Camp Hill communities for the last 16 years in various places around the country, doing all sorts of work in Camp Hill. It's funny, I kind of came to Camp Hill to get away from office work, which lasted about a year. I found myself back in there. I went there to have a life-changing experience, which is what Camp Hill does. And I became an administrator, and I did all the jobs in Camp Hill, a house leader, and I became an executive director, and I did fundraising. At one point, was in charge of national branding for Camp Hill. I left last year, kind of on the end of the pandemic, and most of us in Camp Hill only stay as an executive director 6 or 7 years, so that's a natural flow. And since leaving Camp Hill, though one doesn't ever leave, it's still my place and my community of people. Professionally, I've been rebuilding the what used to be known as the Greene County Council on the Arts, now known as CREATE Council on the Arts, and have rebuilt that organization from a very difficult situation back to functioning, which involved a lot of the things we're talking about here today. This organization is in a much better position than that organization was. So you all have a lot going for you. You have a strong board, you have finances, you have infrastructure. That organization was really at the edge. So I'm happy to be here. Looking at the MOU briefly in terms of the compliance needs, I talked at the executive committee last week that there are all these state portals, and I've dealt with a number of them, not Paris, but I was happy to see the user manual is only like 25 pages long, so that's not bad. You know, they're all very similar. They have similar eccentricities, and I feel that I can assist you in getting that done. At the Arts Council, we use the Grants Gateway, and at Camp Hill, we used all sorts of different reporting portals, and I had experience in Camp Hill in various states in terms of developing compliance environment and making sure that you are compliant with state funders and, you know, compliant with the IRS, getting the reporting done. On the strategic planning side of things, that's the more fun part of what we do together. As it was described, I do what I like to call living strategic planning versus a sort of coffee table book strategic plan, which those exist and those look nice, but they tend to collect dust before they can be executed. This process does develop a plan that has 1 year, 3 year, 5 year goals, but the idea of this plan is that you revisit it every year. So 1 year goals become revisited, 3 year goals, maybe they can become a 1 year goal, and you enter into a smaller process every year to revision that. It's more of efficient way than building a big one and letting it run its course and then having to go through this whole process. And we did that in, I did that for two different entities in Camp Hill, just finished that process at Create. This process, I think, could also be even a little quicker than some of those. At the Arts Council, we had a huge number of constituencies to deal with, and that process took 6 months. I was involved in one in Camp Hill that took a year and a half.
Wow.
Because just the scope and the number of people and how do you get them all in the same room. But I think we have all the people in this room very quickly. It sounds like it. I think that can be a pretty lean process. A window into that process is that we would have a number of conversations, each one kind of refining the last. Right? So the first conversation is this really broad one, an open one, and it's really an opportunity to hear without any restraint what would the HDC do. And then we start attaching restraints, and some of those things fall by, and then in the next meeting we have a more refined palette of what we're talking about, and then we get into, here's what it sounds like the board would like to do. Are we in agreement on that? Let's talk about, well, how do we do a resource development and what is needed to actually carry out those goals? And you get into the final spec level. Here's a document that lays out everything we talked about. Is this enough to be the roadmap for the organization? And it is a roadmap, not necessarily a user guide. There's going to be administrative work and board level work that is needed to carry out these things. The idea is you've laid out and agreed upon the direction of the organization, what are the priorities, how you can fund them, or find funding for them, and then you start to be able to lay out the work and get going. It's a real opportunity to step back just for one moment and zoom out on an organization and pick up where it's going. A lot of organizations, even really well-established ones, enter into this reactive mode, which comes from planning. And the idea of this is that you're in a proactive mode. Things will always come up in that. The idea is that you can be ahead of things and have an idea of where you're going together. It should be a unifying exercise to bring board members together to find common ground. And to be
excellent. Anybody have any questions about what Nathan has charted? I guess my question would be for the board is, this will require setting aside a little time. We discussed not doing whole long days worth of strategic thinking, but maybe doing a morning of strategic thinking or an afternoon of strategic thinking, depending on what is best for people in their schedule. I would tend to think the morning is probably better, and I don't know, we could start as early as, you know, as we need to, I guess, like, you know, not 5 a.m., but... boot camp, but you know, we could start at 8. Does that work for most people? Oh, look at Kristen's eyes are rolling already.
8? 8? 9.
I go for 5:30.
Early bird gets the win.
So if we we'll be figuring out a schedule for this, and we'll put it forward to you. And if you can make a commitment to do this, I think it's really valuable for the rest of us to get your thinking. So we'll work on that as quickly as we can and get that plotted out so you have lead time to plan your own work schedules personally. All right? Any questions?
We'll do that here?
I think we'll do that here, yeah. I mean, where would you like to do it, at your place?
I mean...
5:30 at the bar?
Yeah. Oh, I think, yeah.
I'll go in with
second.
Very clear thinking at the bar.
Yeah. 8 a.m.
Well, we'll figure it out where we'll have it.
We could actually maybe, I don't know, sometimes it's nice to get out of.
It's always nice.
We could maybe do something in the pavilion, you know, be outside,
okay.
Get some.
Yeah.
Know,
okay.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so be on the lookout for that. We're going to make it happen and move it forward. That's the goal here. Okay, anything else on anyone?
How quickly, like a week, 2 weeks, a month? Like what's?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to let Nathan get rolling on the June assignment, which mm-hmm. is for him to become, we're going to be collaborating with compliance and...
Paris.
And Paris and... So we'll get that going, and then as we see the degree of difficulty of that, we'll have a schedule beyond that for the strategic plan. But we'd like to have a strategic plan done by the end of the summer.
Okay.
And we know that summer is when people like to have a little free time. So
it won't be painful.
Okay. Well, you heard that. Okay. We got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So any other items that anyone would like to discuss in the new business category?
What are we doing about replacing Misty?
We are, well, come on, we're thinking about that. That's part of the strategic plan.
I know, but we have immediate needs, too. We should.
We're looking.
Okay.
Yeah, we're looking. We're going to formulate a job description, and based on the one she signed up for, but also with some other adjustments to it, and we'll be putting that out. So you'll get to look at that, too, before it goes to the masses. Okay. All right. I'm going to turn it over to public comment. Carol, would you like to introduce your dog?
Freddy.
Welcome.
He's an 8-year-old rescue dog.
How old is he? Eight.
He's 8 or 9. We're not
oh, that's nice. He's so cute.
But he's had a rough life.
Oh.
Up until this point.
Now. I'm sure he's got it.
He doesn't.
He seems to be enjoying himself.
He does. Where did you adopt him from?
Well, I found him on Petfinder, and he came through a rescue group in Hageman, which is up near Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I never knew where it was, so I assume other people don't know.
Yeah, no.
But he started his life in a puppy mill and was one of many dogs rescued from that. And then for the past year and a half, he was living in a house with two other dogs, but no human. That's why he has a little abandonment issues.
Yeah.
That's why he's here with me today.
I've been here for that. He adopted two dogs that were in a nasty situation. So when did you get him?
Thursday we will be celebrating 3 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, wow.
That's nice. And has he gone to the dog park?
He's a regular at the dog park.
Okay, good. Okay. Good.
And Mayor, do you have an announcement about restoring work that you could update us on?
Really? I don't know. I've been
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what the question was.
Restoring New York.
The Ben Fain project at CAS building was awarded $1.5 million.
Wow. That's
Tom, is it the same where he has to...